On days like this, right, that he gets up here and he starts talking a lot, so I better stop right now. But you do have to listen to me for a little bit. And the first thing that I want to do is just share some announcements with you. I want to welcome you to our service this morning, and a special welcome to our guests, our visitors. I know many of you are here, family and friends of these precious young ones, and so we're glad that you could be here with us. If you would like, please feel free to fill out the blue cards that you might find in your pews. If you would like to give us your information, that way it's a way for us to get to know you and that you were here and so forth. And so, again, glad that you're here. There's also a guest book out in the entryway as well, if you'd like to sign that too. We do have just a few things you can see on the back page of your programs this morning. There are some announcements there. There is a meal following the service, and all are invited to stick around for that down in our fellowship hall. And so please do that if you're at all able. And the meal looks wonderful. I know many of the ladies were down there preparing already this morning. And so stick around for that. If you are a young adult, you're welcome over at my place tonight at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about that, please track me down after the service. That would be great, too. You can see our regular Advent weekly schedule, I guess. There's quilting also this week, and then like I said, our regular Wednesday schedule. We also are doing some Christmas caroling this Wednesday, and so if you are a singer, we'd love to have you stick around after the Advent service. We're just going to do some quick walks through our neighborhood here surrounding the church. If you're not a singer, I also would love it if you would be there because it's just great to go out and do that. And, you know, when the Bible talks about making a joyful noise to the Lord, it doesn't have musical requirements there. And so we'd welcome anybody and everybody who's willing to come out and be a part of that on Wednesday night. That's at 7:30 after our Advent service. And then you can see next Sunday then our regular schedule with no Sunday school. And so that's, I guess, the other big thing, too. Please make a note of that there's now no Sunday school until, I believe, January 10th. You all are invited back for our Christmas Eve service. Hard to believe it's only about a week and a half away. Kind of crazy to think about there, but would love to have you all back for that at 6 o'clock if you're in town. You can see that, too, there is a little note in there about our after-school program. There are a few needs, particularly with staffing for next semester, starting in January there. Some of our college student volunteers have some class conflicts. And so if that's something, you don't have to be a college student, by the way. Really, there's no age limit other than I think we like to have adults there. But if that's something that you might think you would like to be a part of and help with, talk to Pam Tweed after the service, and she can give you more information about that as well. It is Pastor John Abel's 90th birthday today, if you can believe that. And I don't think that they're able to be here with us this morning, but if you get a chance, if you think of it, send him a card if you haven't already to wonderful blessing. The first pastor of St. Paul's, is that right? Yeah. And so please think about that too and wish him a happy birthday when you see him again. Are there any other announcements that need to be made that I missed? And if not, then I'm going to ask for the ushers to come forward and wait upon us at this time. Father in heaven, we're so grateful to you today for your many good works and your abundant provision in our life. And we thank you, God, for this time this morning. Now, thank you for our children. And I pray that you would bless this time this morning. I pray that you would be with all those who are taking part in the service and the program. Thank you, God, for all the work that's been done so much here as well. And we're just so grateful to be here and to share this time together. And so we pray your blessing upon it. Thank you now for these gifts, too, and pray that you would use them for your kingdom's work. Lord, help us to be faithful stewards and caretakers of all that you give us. In your name I pray, amen. At this time, we're going to call on the preschool class, I believe, and they're going to get us started here this morning. Okay.
God of grace and mercy look down from up above.
To see a world in chaos without hope and love.
He saw the only way to send his precious son.
One day to be the savior of the
last. When we believe in Jesus and put your trust in him,
we will truly know his peace and freedom from all sin.
More than Christmas wreaths hanging on our doors.
As Jesus chased, wondrous birth, the lesson of our Lord.
Echoes Jesus, Son of God, born the King of Kings.
Stories. We all have them. Living the pages right now, as a matter of fact. Never ending, always changing tales of twists and turns. But today, we celebrate the story, the Christmas story, the great game changer of stories, the one that has influenced countless others, giving hope to the hopeless, and even in the darkest chapters, brilliant light. Okay. All right. Thank you. Actually, it's in a dark chapter that we start, so thanks. Oh, do you recognize these tales? Well, looks like some change has already occurred. It's through these two stories that will bring us face to face today with the one very true story. So be warned that while the Bible cannot be changed, Scrinch, Grooge, us, we may never be the same.
Next.
So long, Boohoo. Thanks for a wonderful feast. I'll return, I will, for next year's grilled geese. Less sense, senseless sense, non-nonsense.
Next. Name, please.
What a cinch. The name's Scrinch.
Please say your ending.
Well, I thought I ended Christmassy, but it turns out really the joke was on me. When those folks started singing after all their stuff I'd taken, I realized that Christmas must be much more and that I'd been mistaken. So I went down to join them for food and for drink, and I, the Grinch, was changed. I think.
Wonderful. Welcome to the Lobby of Change for fictional stories. Enjoy your change.
Isn't this wonderful? Isn't this great? Who knows what'll happen? Ooh, I can barely wait!
Must you do that? Rhyme and rhyme and rhyme.
No. But I do. All the time! And who might you be, if I make so free?
Groot. Grooge. Grooge! Ebenezer Grooge!
Well, Grooge is my friend. Might I conclude your story had a bitter end?
My ending is none of your business. But, well, if you must know, it was extraordinary. Yes, I was given a second chance at life and, well, became known for my kindness and generosity. Something in my story was incomplete. Mm-hmm. Yes, and when I began contemplating death, I realized that I couldn't go on smiling and laughing when it all just seemed so... bah! But what would you know about it? Humbug!
You're not gonna even try? Why wouldn't I?
You don't think I heard you up there? So, you heard some people singing, and suddenly you're a new Grinch. Mm-hmm. Do you even know what they were singing?
Less sense, senseless, sense, nonsense?
Precisely. It's gibberish. What is that even supposed to mean?
Well, it made me realize that Christmas isn't found in a store. That perhaps it's much more?
But what more? Did you even find out?
No.
And you won't, because there's nothing to find. It's all feel-good rubbish to drive you out of your mind. And, now I'm rhyming.
No. You're right. Feel-good is all that it was. Their singing must have put my brain in a fuzz. True. My heart may have grown 3 sizes that day, but it hasn't changed, no matter what they say.
Ah, come to your senses, I see.
Yes. You've helped me remember just how much I hate December. All the smiles, all the cheer. Ah, but I have a scheme. The scheme of the year.
Yeah.
Come, my friend. It's time for Christmas to end.
That's the ticket. I've been waiting for an idea, man. Oh, but wait. Grinch, where is that you're going?
We'll take down the greatest story of all. The Christmas story in the Bible.
No.
Fictional characters entering non-fiction zone.
Oh, no.
Unauthorized plot twist.
No, don't.
Fictional characters entering non-fiction zone. Unauthorized plot twist. Fictional characters entering non-fiction zone.
They're all so slippery.
Everywhere.
The Bible! Bitwix, read ahead!
Oh, we're all dead. But wait, Grinch. What? I don't even know where to enter. And, well, what if we cease to be? This is truth, history, and we're only fiction.
Story, fill it with dread, till it can no longer bear to be read. Else terrible dreams fill the reader's head.
Ah!
Screech! My back! My! Oh dear! Where are we?
Well, obviously, this must be the Christmas story.
But what are those? Dwarves? That can't be right.
Greetings. Ooh. You may call me Index.
Index?
It appears you have entered the historical record of God's Word, namely, the Bible.
Yes.
Without entering a starting point, I might add, if you are looking for a specific book, Genesis is that way, Revelations is that way. You are currently in the books of the prophets.
Oh, you mean the dwarves?
No. Prophets. God's messengers to his people.
We don't need a guide. We're here to ruin the Christmas story from the inside.
Ruin the Christmas story?
Yes, so run along and point the way, Index.
Well, I never.
He doesn't seem to want to comply. I say we pick a fight with this guy.
It appears I must remind you, you are fictional characters.
What's wrong?
And not very bright ones at that. History cannot be changed. The truth set forth in these pages is fixed forever. You may have been able to gain experience in its pages to sneak in, but experience is where your access begins and ends.
Fine. We'll just find the Christmas story ourselves.
Yeah.
Well, if you are looking for the Christmas account, you will find this a fitting place to start.
Great.
You could even start in Genesis. The Bible actually points forward and back to the life of the one who was born on that day.
What's the matter? Now quit the chatter. Let's flood this place with pancake batter.
Wait, pancake batter?
Yes.
But I told you, you can't.
It'll stick to their fingers, cling to their toes, and with any luck, go right up the nose. Now quick, hand me the hose.
The hose? What hose? Oh,
hurry.
That was unexpected.
Hurry.
Okay, here you go.
Aha!
Fiction characters entering non-fiction zone.
What? Huh? That's us.
Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar.
Oh, dear.
I told you so.
That doesn't sound good. It doesn't appear we can add anything new here.
Splendid idea. Excellent, in fact. If we can't add, then let's subtract.
Yes, if we remove a character, it's bound to ruin the story. This one.
Yeah.
Let's get him.
Let's get him.
Okay, get him off. Maybe we need some sort of wedge.
The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever.
Oh, who is that?
That would be the author, and his word is true. And since so is the Bible, there's nothing you can do.
Oh, okay, let's go. No, Scrinch, I don't think a wedge will work. Come along.
Now, forget the wedge. It's this man. He speaks my language.
Is that so?
Yes, I think so. Please continue. Go!
Index, an intro?
You're about to experience a summary of the prophets. Messengers of God to his people, Israel. They had forsaken the true God and were in danger. God called them to return back to him. As a warning, the prophets foretold a judgment to come unless they would repent. Their proclamations began around 840 BC.
Drought, danger, destitution, disease, death, destruction,
deportation, defeat, disgrace.
Doom is coming to this place. Judgment.
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 Oh dear, this doesn't seem right. Come on, let's get out of sight.
The Lord your God has spoken, a matter of a promise, a covenant broken.
It appears this seems a mystery. Shall we prophets provide some history?
600 years ago you were a nation.
Yes.
But a nation in slavery. When God raised up a man from out of Goshen.
Moses.
He used to set his people free.
And
then people
good.
And even in the middle of God's rescue, you thought you'd turn and disobey. Rejecting the one who had freed you. And so there was a price to pay.
Judgment.
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 Now thankfully the next generation were listening and God was heard. And so God made a promise to your nation to bless you if you kept his word. And with that promise there was a warning not to wander or go astray. For if his word you started forgetting, you'd soon be facing judgment day.
So summer turned to fall, and winter to spring. Soon in the years that followed, you rejected God as king. Just like the other nations, you also wanted to be. You got yourself an earthly king, and then, after only three,
your entire nation fell into idolatry.
God kept his covenant. He blessed and made you great, yet continue in rebellion and face a fearsome fate.
I'll stop right there. This is quite unfair. Have you seen how much I give or the generous way I live?
But you oppress the poor in so many ways.
Only on weekdays.
I think you should give it a rest. Have you seen me, Savannah? I always look my best.
But there's no love of God in your heart.
Well, at least I look the part.
Don't worry, I'm headed the right way. You should have heard me on the street. I think I prayed all day.
But you only seek the approval of man, not God.
But you should hear them applaud.
And what does God care anyway? Is he just out to ruin the day?
He wants to bless you, but he is just. He must punish sin.
Well, I guess we all have our opinion.
Idolatry led to a kingdom split, and a divided nation began the end of it. Because of your sin, the breaking of God's decrees, the nation would soon be brought to their knees. So captives they became, yet they had always been. For even free, we're all born slaves as captives to our sin. Our sin apart from word or deed, what truly keeps us from being freed, beats in our chest from our first breath, condemning all to pain and death.
Oh dear, well, I think we've done it, Scrinch.
Huh?
Can't you see? Everything in this story has gone wrong. This can't be the story that fills everyone's hearts with love and cheer. We must have changed it by being here.
We did? We did!
Yes, yes.
Uh-huh. So no need to call a giant squid?
No, no. I think it's safe to say Christmas is over. Done and gone.
Good.
However, I was thinking, it might be amusing to see one of the greatest stories end in hopelessness and misery, since that's all life is anyway. Come on, let's go.
But wait, there's more. Good news for the poor, healing for the broken. The Lord your God has spoken.
I am coming as a savior to set my people free. Sin will no longer bind those who turn their eyes on me.
I'll blot out all their sin and remember it no more. I'll give them a hope, a future, my riches for the poor.
I'll come and live among them, for with them I want to be. And with my blood, my sacrifice, give life eternally.
And the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us.
Come along, Scrinch. We should be seeing something hopeless soon.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I think I've seen that sign before. I think we're going in circles.
Nah.
What's going on here?
Scrooge! Look!
What?
There's a man!
Oh!
With a book!
Oh, well, it's about time. Yeah. We've been walking forever, going in circles, and we're looking for the ending, and where's Israel? We came to see their miserable, hopeless ending.
Scrooge.
Oh, he knows my name.
You've reached the last book. This book is about the future and eternity.
Israel's future, right?
No, everyone's future. Not even people in the audience are free from this prophecy.
Audience?
I think I understand. Yes? It seems these changes we've made have gotten out of hand.
God's word is unchanged. It's only your ignorance that makes it seem so. God sent his prophets to Israel to warn them of their disobedience and the coming judgment. And God has sent me to warn of the final judgment to come at any moment, this time for the world.
Well, what do you have to tell?
That when he does come, he'll divide the righteous from the unrighteous. The unrighteous will be separated from their God for eternity and face everlasting suffering. And the righteous will be reunited with their God for eternity. Will there be no sin, death, pain, or crying, but rejoicing evermore.
Well then, heaven is going to be a pretty lonely, forsaken place if that's how it is. Oh, the righteous,
Bah! Let me tell you, sir. I've tried. Oh, yes, I've tried. You see, I was warned once before that my bad deeds were forming links to a chain that would bind me for all eternity. Oh, I begged, I pleaded for a second chance. I would do better. And I did. I gave to the poor. I was kind to everyone. Oh, until I realized it was hopeless. No amount of good deeds could ever make up for my wrongs, and, oh, even if they could, there's still the matter of this wretched, miserly heart beating in my chest, condemning me, even if my actions do not. Why even warn when there is no hope?
Scrooge, Scrinch, you have no clue what Christmas is about, do you? Ah, friends, hope isn't make-believe, and good cheer isn't that far away as you would imagine. Tell me, after Israel was disobeyed God and was captured and destroyed, what happened?
Did you hear what he said? We sort of skipped ahead.
You're in for a surprise. It's time to go back now, but this time don't go alone. I'm giving you a guide. Luke, could you come out here, please?
Oh, hello, John. Who are these two?
This is Scrinch and Grooch. They're looking for the record of Christmas. They know all about Israel and its judgment. Quite well, in fact. But it seems they missed your book and are a bit lacking in the peace and goodwill department. Would you mind helping them out?
It would be an absolute pleasure. Come with me, friends. So, Israel destroyed. Captured, even. Things got pretty dark there, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, but what did you think of God's promise of a savior? Well, don't tell me you missed that, too. Well, no wonder you're so grim-faced. You better come with me. I'll tell you on the way.
Okay.
Yes, precisely. So even when they were destroyed and captured, God gave Israel hope.
That a savior would come.
Exactly, and release them from a captivity that went far beyond the invading army. He would set them free from the sinful conditions of their heart with which all of us are born.
Such a thing is possible?
My friend, with God, all things are possible.
Luke, we've come quite far. Can you please tell us where we are?
Ah, yes, the field in Bethlehem. You see, even now the people were under another nation's rule. 65 years ago, Rome took over, and this year the ruler Caesar Augustus made a decree that the entire Roman world should be registered. Why don't you come with me over to those shepherds? There's something I want you to see.
Hey there, how do you do? Could we, join you?
Sure thing, we're just watching our flock by night. All night.
Sounds exhausting.
You don't know the half of it. Have you ever tried staying awake and counting sheep at the same time?
No.
It sure is boring, especially when it's a silent night and all is calm and all is...
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all people.
For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.
Let's go see for ourselves that the Lord has just been known.
Yeah, yeah. Go, go, go. Go, go.
There he is, just like the angel said.
We have to go tell the others what the angel said about him. A Savior is born. Let's go.
A baby? But how could this child... Could this child be the Savior for Israel? And for me? Scrinch, tell me, what do you think?
Oh, me?
Yes.
I was just staring at my toes. But I bet he knows.
Luke. I'm confused.
As were many others during that time. But you have something they didn't. The whole story. That little child, his name is Jesus. Do you see his birthplace?
Just a simple stable and a food trough.
But you know what makes it amazing? This Jesus is God, and he left heaven to come here as a baby to be born in this stable.
What? Why would he do that?
Love. Love is the only explanation. He loves us. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. He wants us in heaven with him.
Heaven. It sounds perfect. Heaven sounds perfect.
It is. And that's the problem. We aren't. We deserve absolutely no place there. Deep down, we all know it. Some try doing good to earn a place, but no one can. Remember Israel, they couldn't keep God's laws. In fact, their very hearts were captive to sin.
As is my own heart. Oh, the more I look at myself, the more hopeless it seems.
Yes, and so we look to God and at this stable, where he has given the whole world hope. Hope in the birth and life of Jesus, a Christmas gift above all others. Jesus would live to die in our place, to shed his blood to wash away our sins, so that in him we are perfect, precious, and holy in God's sight. Then he rose from the grave, triumphing over death, giving life to all who would accept the salvation he freely offers as a gift.
Wait, as a gift? Yes. No, surely there must be something I have to pay.
No, nothing. Jesus paid our entire debt. His death is our death. His life is our life.
Amazing. Amazing. Yes, yes, I will receive this gift. And if there is nothing to pay, then I will rejoice. Yes, Scrinch,
Isn't this a wonderful news? There is hope. Hope for all people after all.
Honestly, I'm not sure I see.
What? Well, maybe you need it in a rhyme. But, well, as it turns out, some of you is rubbing off on me. let's see. This baby, born on Christmas Day, is Jesus, our Savior, who made a way for us, hopeless of sinners, who truly believe this Christmas Day salvation receive.
Why didn't you say so before? Such wonderful news! We couldn't ask for more!
Yes, yes, so what should we do?
Do? Let's get every voice up here! Let's break out and sing! Make the floor shake! Make the rafters ring! For salvation has come through the birth of this boy! Let's lift up our hearts! Let's sing of great joy!
Joy to the world!
Can we give them a round of applause, too, and thank them for blessing us with that? Yeah, I'm sure they heard us. The students, as you can see, did so much work here to put that on for us, and as well as so many adults, Sunday school teachers, volunteers, helpers. And so if you get a chance after the service, be sure to grab them and to thank them for all the work they did here on a wonderful, you know, it's sometimes a fine line between just doing a production. Sometimes churches can get that way, but using arts like this, not only for our children, but helping our children to have a part in sharing the good news of the gospel message. And I see these Sunday school Christmas programs as a part of that ministry that we can help teach our children to be using their gifts and talents to share the good news message of the gospel. And that's ultimately why we do this each Christmas season, and I'm so thankful to be able to witness that. And so I hope that you guys are excited too and thankful for the way that they brought God's word to us this morning. When I first read that script, it kind of struck a chord with me, to be honest with you, because I think it really cuts to the heart of a very common misunderstanding that is so pervasive in our culture and our society today regarding Christmas and its message. For so many, Christmas means the warmth of homes filled with family and laughter. It means the peace that we see with a gentle snowfall, the generosity modeled by Scrooge at the end of the regular story, A Christmas Carol, the love of people to include an ugly Grinch in their festivities, the hope and anticipation of opening gifts. And those are nice things. But there are some underlying implications that we have there. If we look forward to Christmas just because of the times of fellowship and community with family and friends, if we look forward to it because of the peace and generosity and love and hope of the season, if that's what we look forward to and want, the implication is that those are things that are important to us that we don't always have, right? If peace and love and hope are things we want, that means we don't always have them. It means that there is something fundamentally not right with us, with the world that we live in. To say it simply, not all is right in the world. And the other sad implication here is that if these characteristics of this season that bring us these things, if, in case you didn't know this, Christmas will end at some point. This season, January comes, and those driving January winds make snow not so peaceful anymore. Your extended family goes back to their respective homes, many times with promises to stay in touch better. But if we're honest, that's easier said than done. The hope and expectation of opening gifts and the joy that follows wanes when those toys start to break. And these are maybe some superficial examples. But if you think about it, this is a season when people are particularly looking for those things that they know are missing in their life. And that's why for many, this is a very difficult time of year. And if people look in the wrong places for those things, peace, hope, joy, love, oftentimes they find themselves disappointed because those places, those sources don't last. To give you an example, the small town that I lived and worked at in Michigan here these last 5 years before I moved here, they underwent an unbelievable sequence of events surrounding the town's football team a few years back. It was a time of heartbreak and grief and jubilation. The school's head football coach had a son commit suicide. The starting quarterback's brother died of a drug overdose. A junior high football player was killed by a drunk driver, all in a matter of months. And it was a terrible time. Meanwhile, there was a boy with Down syndrome who grew up being a part of the team, but was not going to be able to play the following season for a senior year because he was now too old, according to the rules and regulations. And some of the state media outlets picked up on that, and eventually the state legislature got involved, and finally he was allowed to play. And the season starts, and they're winning every game, and the town is rallying together around the football team. And you put all these stories together, and now Sports Illustrated picks up on it, and they bring their journalists and cameras into town, and it all climaxes at the state championship game against the heavily favored all-boys charter school from downtown Detroit, with their 300-pound high school lineman going up against our nose tackle, weighing in at a healthy 165 pounds. This is straight out of a movie, and of course, our team, the underdog, wins, and the prevailing thought in town is how this football team brought healing and hope and excitement and joy back to the hurting community. And I'll tell you, it was a great story, and it was a lot of fun to be a part of. But as a pastor in that town, something didn't sit quite right, and I looked around, and I saw all these people putting their hope and joy, looking for healing from a bunch of high school football players. And it doesn't last. The world is a painful place that is filled with hurt and suffering and disappointment and death. Grudge, had some insight into that. And there's only one true source that brings peace and hope and love and joy. And I'm so thankful that our kids proclaimed this morning that it's Jesus. He brings peace on earth, the peace that passes all understanding. Hope in Him does not fail. His love endures forever. That's the repeated phrase throughout Psalm 118. And I just want to share a few of those verses with you this morning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Verse 2, His steadfast love endures forever. Verses 3 and 4, the same. Verse 5, out of my distress I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. Verse 8, listen to this one. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. Verse 14, the Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Friends, peace is found in knowing that Jesus came and shed His blood to cover your sins so that you are made right with God. Joy is found in the reality that God came to earth to save you and to give you eternal life. Joy to the world? Why? The Lord is come, the song says. God came. He saved us. He freed us from bondage of sin. He freed us from disappointment and death. And so we do sing hallelujah. Joy to the world. Love is seen in the coming of Jesus to this world to die for you. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. That's love, and it's Jesus. And the Bible says here that that love endures forever. That's the kind of love that God has for you. It's a steadfast love that endures forever. There are some other verses in that chapter in Psalm 118, towards the end, verses 22 and 23. It says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes." That's a prophecy of Jesus, that he would be rejected, and he was by so many. But his work of salvation and victory over death is the foundation. He is the foundation, the cornerstone on which all of our life rests. And there's warmth there then, and joy, and peace, and love, and hope this time of year, but every time of year. Fundamentally, because Jesus came and loved us with a steadfast love that endures forever. And it's so, ultimately, it's him then that we look to this Christmas, because it is him only that can bring what we most need. And because he did deliver, he brought himself here to us, we rejoice. That's why verse 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it." The day of the Lord's salvation has come. Jesus, God in flesh, the Word, the Holy Bible, the Word made flesh, came to earth. It's a wonderful, glorious, joyful day, and that is cause for celebration. And so we celebrate this time of year. My prayer today and each day for all of you is that your family gatherings, especially this season, would be filled with joy, yes, but ultimately the joy of the Lord this Christmas. I pray that each and every one of you would be resting in God's peace, not just peace from the beautiful snow outside that we have or we don't have right now, but the peace in knowing that we are washed white as snow under the cleansing blood of Christ. My prayer is that the extravagant, generous love of Christ would radiate in and through your life, and that you would find your hope ultimately in the opening, the revealing of the greatest Christmas gift of all, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray for these friends, these brothers and sisters in the Lord gathered here tonight. Lord, I pray for each of us that we would be looking to you as our source, as the only true source that doesn't change, the source of hope and love and peace and joy. Lord, we are so grateful that you came. We are so happy, God, to know that because you came, because you died on the cross, our sins are washed away. And so we sing together in our hearts this morning, "Joy to the world." Why? Because you came. The Lord has come. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray if there is anyone here who does not know you, who is not trusting in you, God, that you would be working a miracle in their heart even now to bring them to repentance and faith. As we look upon you, the author, the finisher of our faith, the cornerstone, the foundation, our all in all, our life. You are our life. We thank you, dear Jesus, for coming. We thank you for being born, for humbling yourself in this way. We rejoice today with our young ones, knowing, God, that you have loved us with a steadfast love, and that love endures forever. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray, amen. I'm going to call upon the kids to close us and lead us out then this morning.